Welcome to another teaching from City Life Church Wollongong. For more information about our church, log on to www.citylife.org.au.
The next few weeks I want to share around the idea of everything for His glory, how we are called to live lives that are not for ourselves and our own, you know, whatever, benefit, purpose, job, comfort, convenience, but for His glory, that everything is about God and about Him and about glorifying His name. And that's really what we were created for, yeah? And that's really who we are made to be. And our real job is to worship God and to make His name famous, to make Him known. And I think sometimes that kind of hits us the wrong way because really we're inherently selfish. I remember having this revelation, I think I was reading it in a book somewhere when I was maybe in early high school, that everyone is I. You get what I'm saying? Like, this kind of blew me away when I was younger. Like, I am I to me, you know, but you are I to you. And everyone is I to themselves. And it really goes a long way to helping understand the way that people act and the way that we can interact with each other. When you understand that the other person thinks they are the center of the universe and that you think that you are the center of the universe, then you can go some way to figuring out, you know, how you can exist together in a positive way, yeah? But I think like the real issue with this is that we look at ourselves and we say, I am me, and I am in the middle of my life, yeah? And that's true in some ways, but I think what we really need to start to say is, I am His, and everything I do is for His glory. And change it from this kind of selfish mentality, which is just who we are, and it's part of what's built into us, and it's part of how we are born, and it's just, you know, the natural thing, and start to turn it around to, I am His. I belong to God. I was created by Him, for His purpose, and for His glory, yeah? And it's this really big shift in our thinking that I think will transform everything that we think and everything that we do and the way that we relate to each other and all of that. And so, yeah, the next few weeks, just want to share around for His glory, that everything that we do would be to glorify God. We saw this thing the other day, and I want to show a video of it in 1 second. NASA has released this 1.5 billion pixel picture of the Andromeda Galaxy. I don't know if anybody else has seen this, but maybe you can throw the video on, Heath. There it is. So it's a video, and I'll let it do its thing. Just while that's going, I'm going to read this. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words. No sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In the heavens He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth." You know, when you look at something like that and it's just this kind of overwhelming, you know, you can't even understand really, and you can't really get your head around it at all. I can't, and it always has fascinated me. But just think about this, that David's writing, you know, in the Psalms, and he says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The reason that this Andromeda Galaxy is there for us to discover with a telescope and take big pictures of, is that it would declare that God is glorious. Yeah? That it would declare by its size and its scale and its insaneness that God is to be glorified. And it's saying, you know, if I'm going to create something that says this is what God is like, this is kind of the representation that I can do, and that's what God does, and he created the heavens and everything basically to say, I'm God and look at this, you know, I'm God. And I think when we start to let that into our head and into our heart, we can start to get a more sense of scale of God. Yeah, we start, like, we can't understand God and who, how fully, how big he is or anything, but I think when we start to look at something that's just so far beyond what I can even comprehend, like each of those dots being a star that's the same as our sun or bigger or whatever, like, you can't figure that out. I can't figure that out. But it just starts to build this picture of just how insane God is and how big God is. And that's what David's saying. Like, he doesn't have a telescope, but he's looking up at the sky and he says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the more that we look at it, the more it declares the glory of God, you know? And then, like, it looks so small there, yeah? But it's so insane. And I think that's just cool, you know? And I've always thought it was fascinating. But I just think that we need to really, if we want to understand, glorify his name, if we want to understand that everything is for God's glory, then we need to get God in the right perspective. We need to try and put God at the right size. I think sometimes we think about God in terms of like a microscope. Like, if I could get all the little details, if I can look at all the small things, then I could figure it out. If I'm like, God, you're not dealing with this one particular thing in my life that I wish that you would deal with, and so therefore I don't know about you. But God's not a God to be looked at through a microscope. A microscope makes small things seem really big, yeah? That's what we do with our lives all the time. You know, because I am I and I am the center of my universe, then I have a tendency to look at a tiny thing in my life and say, this is huge, this is the whole of the world and the whole of the universe, yeah? And so then I'm like, well, God, I don't understand how I can give you the glory because you don't understand the size of the thing that is going on in my life. But I think rather than use a microscope, we should switch over and use a telescope. Yeah, like a telescope takes huge things that are far away and starts to show us how big they actually are. And I think that's really the way that we should be seeing God. Not that he should be far from us, but that we understand that he is huge. And that there's the sense of, rather like when you use a microscope, you start to think that you are the center. When you use a telescope, you start to realize that there is so much more than you. And you can glorify God rather than making yourself the center. And I think it's the same with our friends. You know, our friends that don't know God, we are often looking with a microscope, yeah? You know, oh, they're not doing the right thing. Oh, they're so far from God. You know, you should hear the way they talk. You should see the way they live. And, you know, we pick out the little things rather than kind of being a telescope for our friends. Because what does a telescope do? It brings people closer. It brings the thing that is huge closer to people. And so our job, I think, as people who want to glorify God, is to say, God is incredible and God is huge. And for you right now, he seems a long way away, so he is small in your life. But can I try and live my life and have, you know, the kind of faith and the kind of day-to-day Christian walk that makes God seem bigger to you and starts to right-size God in your life, yeah? That it starts to show a more accurate picture of just how incredible and just how big God is. Like, we watched this video, and you know, when it's zoomed out and when you're on earth and when you're looking at that, it's just this dot. But the closer you get with the telescope, the more you realize how huge it is. And so that's kind of what I want to talk about, and that's what I want to share, and I hope that's what we can get in our heart, that when we understand who God is, that we understand that we are just created to glorify his name. That we start to understand that it is just not about us. And less us and more of him. And then when we get to that point where I'm looking at God and I'm saying, this is huge and God is beyond anything that I can comprehend. And then we just put on top of that Jesus who came and lived on earth as a person. It just blows my mind. And like, I've been in church a long time, my whole entire life, and it still blows me away. And I challenge you to really give it thought and to not have it just blow your mind and blow your heart away, because it's just such an incredible thing. Yeah. And it's this incredible thing that God is God and Jesus is God, but Jesus became man. Like in Psalm 19, you know, the sun here is like this double meaning, which is convenient in English, but I still think it works. Where it says, you know, in the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom. The bridegroom would be Jesus, you know, coming out of his chamber like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end and makes its circuit to the other end of the heavens, and nothing is deprived of its warmth. And it's talking about the sun, but I think it's this kind of picture of Jesus and his power and his huge, incredible immenseness, but also his love for us, that he's like the bridegroom coming out of his chamber, that nothing is deprived of his love and of his warmth. Amen. And when we get to that, when I get to all of that, then I guess I get to this willingness to say, God, it's all for your glory. And my life is in your hands, and I just want to be used by you. And I just want you to do just whatever you want, because you are God. And I don't want it just to be about me, and I don't want to make me successful or me famous. I want to kind of right-size you for people the most that I can. And I think that if I can make somehow help my friends to see just in the hugeness of God and his love for us, then, you know, that's what my job is, yeah, and I've done my job. But I think it starts with our attitudes, and the next few weeks I want to talk about a few, I guess, different ways I think that this needs to affect us and should affect us and does affect us, but I want to talk about attitude tonight. So if you've got your Bible, open it up to Romans chapter 12, and it says in verse 1, it says, therefore, this is a famous verse, you may have heard it, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. So I was really looking at this today and thinking about this, that video and the stars and just in view of God's mercy, in view of who God is and what he did for us, in view of how incredibly incredible and huge and massive Jesus is, and that then he came and he gave his life for me and he gave his life for us, in view of that, which we can't even really understand. It says, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, it all starts, I think, in our hearts and in our heads. It starts with the attitude that I have, you know, and when I understand that my life is to glorify God and that the reason that I'm here is to bring him glory and to worship him and to join in with the heavens declaring the glory of God, then it starts to change the way that I think, and it starts to change the attitude that I have towards everything, yeah? So since we are our good little tight-knit group, and everybody has lots of good things to say, I wanted to ask some questions along the way so you can jump in with your answer. If you're wrong, I'll just tell you. So don't worry. No, I'm joking. Nothing's a dumb question or a dumb answer. But what do you think what kind of attitude do you think is cultivated by this realization? Does that make sense? Is that a confusing question? Serving? Serving God? Serving people? Submission, yeah. Don't be shy, it's okay. Good. Obedience. Love. Thank you, Maya. Gold star. You're just saying the fruits of the Spirit now, yeah. It's always the answer, yeah. God, Jesus, Moses. Something like that. That'll work. Good work. Anyway, you know, you don't have to answer. I might ask a couple more, but if nobody answers me, then I'll just preach. I want us to think about these things, yeah, not just sit back and go, okay, someone's talking, but let's really engage with it. I think we have this opportunity to really, I don't know, listen to what God's word says and listen to what he's putting on our hearts. And I really believe that God wants to speak to us every time we come into the house of God, and he wants to say something to us through his word. And that's nothing to do with me being the one with the microphone. That's regardless of who is speaking, God wants to say something. And you can trust that God's going to use the people that have given the microphone or whatever, and that they are going to try really hard to really seek God and find the thing that he wants to say. Yeah. So what all of that to say, let's make sure that we're awake and we're active when we're hearing the word. We're not just sitting back and saying, okay, I made it to church again. Like, that's a good thing to make it to church. But, you know, I don't know. That's like going to Max Brenner and not eating chocolate. Like, come on, let's, you know, don't just get there, but make the most of it, yeah? Did you like that illustration? I just made it up just then. You know, I want to talk about kind of two things, two attitudes just tonight that I think this needs to cultivate in our lives. And if it's not, then that we need to look in our hearts, I guess, and try and deliberately cultivate these attitudes. Yeah. The first one is gratitude. Yeah. Have an attitude of gratitude, because that rhymes. I was going to deliberately call it thankfulness because I didn't want it to rhyme, but now you'll remember it. So, you know, in view of God's mercy, and I'm just blown away by that little statement that just says, in view of God's mercy, I would offer myself as a living sacrifice. In view of everything that God has done for me and everything that he is, that I would come with this attitude of thankfulness, not an attitude of entitlement. Because I think when I am I, instead of I being his, then I come with this attitude of entitlement. That God, I deserve this and I deserve that. And why haven't you done this? And how come I can't have that? And you know, when we start to use the microscope on our life and we start to get that focus wrong, then we build this attitude of entitlement. It's like, I deserve everything that is good all the time. Rather than when I realize that everything is for God's glory and that it is all about him and that he is incredibly huge, but he gave himself for me, all I can build then is an attitude of thankfulness that says, God, whatever you give me, thank you. God, I thank you for every situation in my life because you are doing something with me, because you want to speak to me. I thank you for your word because you didn't have to do it. You just didn't have to. Like, God didn't have to create us, but he did. And if we can understand that we are not the center, but he is, then there's this like overflow of thankfulness that says, God, I don't deserve anything, but you give me so much. And so everything I do just comes out of this thankful spirit. And it really changes it, because then it changes the attitude that I have towards other people. It changes the attitude that I have towards my work, towards every single part of my life that just says, God, you know, I was hoping to have this, but you have given me this. And so I'm thankful for it, because it's way more than anything that I ever deserved. And I start to put myself aside and say, but God, I don't care about anything but your glory. So thank you for everything that you do for me. And my perspective shifts and my attitude changes, yeah? So we need to have this attitude of thankfulness, this attitude of gratitude that says, God, thank you. God, when I look at your mercy, that's what Paul is urging us. That in view of his mercy, when I look at everything that he has done, that I would offer myself. And that I would have this just thankful heart that says, God, you just did it all and you gave it all for me. And I feel like this is a good thing to kind of start the year with and to kick it off with, because I really just pray that we would be that people that not just, you know, attend things and are committed and are faithful. They're great qualities. But that beyond that, we would have this attitude that says, I'm going to live my life for the glory of God. I'm going to just do everything and give my all. That I'm going to live as a sacrifice because he gave everything for me. You know, that we would have that thankful attitude, that thankful spirit. that we would have an attitude of humility and an attitude of awe, yeah, rather than just like an attitude of pride. You know, it says in the just the next verse in Romans 12 and verse 3, it says, "For the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." It says, let's have a humble heart and a humble attitude when it comes to God, when it comes to church, when it comes to people. You know, the kind of the opposite of this is the prideful attitude, the I'm always right attitude, the it's all about me attitude, the I know better attitude, which we all have, yeah? And, you know, I think if you never think that you're better than anybody else, then maybe you should sometimes, because that, you know, is self-confidence and all of those things that we talk about being good. But we need to then take that and put it aside and say, God, you've gifted me, you've given me this, you've given me that, but I need to put myself low because I'm nothing compared to you. You know, I'm nothing in comparison to everything that you have done and who you are. And then I just come to you with humility and say, God, whatever it takes. We have a real problem in our culture and in our generation of humility and of just that faithful, humble service, I think, where we want the next thing and we want it now. We know so much because everything is accessible to us all the time. And I think one of the biggest challenges for us as young people is, and as young adults, is to say, I'm just going to serve faithfully and I'm going to do it because I don't think that I'm the bee's knees. I don't think that I'm the answer to everything in the world. I don't know the answer to everything. Like, we can be really quick for answers because we can Google it in 5 seconds, but we are not the answer to everything. God is. And his call is that we would serve him and we would follow him and we would do that with a humility that says, here is God and then here is me. You know, here is God's power and here is the power that I have, yeah? And that all of that would kind of culminate in this attitude that says, God, not my will, but your will be done. I just want my life to glorify you. When I understand who you are, when I see what you've done for me, when I understand and am in view of your mercy, when I see the heavens that declare the glory of God, all I want to do is say, God, I'm nothing. You are everything. So just do what you want. And I want to glorify you. Yeah. And all of that, I think, needs to fight against this pride and this selfishness that we have this such a tendency to create in our lives, such a tendency to grab onto. I know I do, and so I'm sure that everybody else is the same. You know, that when we're left to our own devices, it often and very quickly becomes about us. But I really encourage you this year to think about God's glory, to be about his glory, that everything that we would do would be for his glory and for his purpose, not our own. In every area of our lives. You know, not, church is important and so I'll go, God is important to me and so I'll read my Bible, and then kind of compartmentalize my life like that. But no, everything is for his glory. And so when I come to church, it's for the glory of God. When I go to work, it's for the glory of God, and I'll talk about that, I guess, more next week. But that everything in my heart, everything in my attitude would be, God, I want you to be glorified. I want to make myself less so that you can be more, so that your name can be glorified. Amen? Yeah. So there's some thoughts tonight. I hope that that makes sense. I hope that you can take that to heart. I really want us to feel the challenge of that. And I hope that you do, because I really feel like God's speaking to us and that we should just, let's take that on, yeah? Let's be for his glory. Not just, yeah, that was a good message and a good thought and we'll discuss it at Kin or whatever it is. But let's, you know, let's take the things on board this year, yeah? Let's be that group of people that's willing to do something different. That's willing to be different to everybody else. It's the willing to be that different breed of person that says, no, I'm going to give my life for his glory. I'm going to give it all, no matter what, because of who he is, because of what he has done for me. Amen? Let's pray. Hey? God, thank you so much for who you are and for what you've done. God, we look at the stars, we look at the universe, and we can't comprehend your size. But I pray that you would help us to see just a little bit more how huge you are, so that we would understand just a little bit better what Jesus did for us. And God, that in view of that, in view of your mercy, God, that we would just want to live lives that glorify you. God, that you would allow our mind to be transformed. That you would allow our attitude to be changed. God, that we would just be thankful to you, and we would just humbly want to serve you. God, thank you for your grace towards us. God, I thank you that you didn't need to do any of this, but you did. That you love us, that you choose us. And God, you've called us to glorify your name. God, we know that you are worthy. You are the only one that is worthy of having their name glorified. So God, that's what we want to do. Now we pray every week just a recommitment to God, or a commitment to God if it's the first time. And I want to do that together tonight so that no matter where our hearts are at, we can just say, yeah, God, I just want to follow you again in a fresh way. I want to be about your glory, not my own. So let's pray together. I don't know which ones. Yeah, there it is. Let's just pray this together, hey? Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow. Amen. Awesome. Thanks, everybody.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this teaching from City Life Church. And why not join us on a Sunday? We hold multiple services around the Illawarra. For more information, go to www.citylife.org.au.